Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
About his six-song EP titled Life Happens, and if you'd like to come into the studio and talk to him, the number is 319-527-6099. Elliot Lewis, he's an independent multi-instrumentalist. He has built his unique career only musicians could dream of, and as a solo artist, he consistently performs and releases his own brand of guitar-featured rock and soul. He is also the only musician to appear on every episode of the hugely popular Live from Daryl's House show. And Elliot also performs with the most successful duo of all time, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, Daryl Hall and John Oates, on tour. And he's also worked with some of the biggest artists in the music business, including Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top, Joe Walsh, Todd Rundgren, Train, Grace Porter, Ben Fields, Booker T, Jewel, Rob Thomas, Kev Moe, Jason Mraz, and Darius Rucker of Hootie and the Blowfish. So again, if you'd like to come in and talk to Mr. Elliot Lewis, the number is 319-527-6099. And now, without further ado, the number one radio host of Blog Talk Radio, Brian the Hammer Jackson.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank
you
very much. Oh, no, that applause is not for me. It's for Mr. Lewis. Welcome to the show, everybody. I am Brian Hammer Jackson. That is the number one radio personality in the morning, my co-host, Ellen Johnson. And I want to thank you, Ellen. I'm hearing music, Ellen. Is everything
you got? No,
I'm sorry. Oh,
boy. I was picking up my cell phone.
I know.
Because my cell phone yesterday was playing crazy music.
Exactly. Welcome to the show, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are global. We're heard around the world, including Russia. That little guy who listens to us all the time, he keeps sending me kisses and asks me to Facebook him. I keep saying, Putin, I'm not into that.
Pootie baby.
Pootie baby. Pootie baby. Always Pootie baby is trying to get into the act. and that North Korea kid. I'm not going to Facebook him either. All right, everybody. Like I said,
Kim?
We are global. We're heard around the world. Yeah, little Kim. We're heard around the world. We have a very special guest in the studio. Man, I mean, we're talking about rock and roll royalty. Just rock and roll royalty. It's a privilege to do the show when I have people like Mr. Lewis come on and other rockers. And I want to thank Ellen for reaching out to people. And they seem to enjoy the show. And Elliot is coming back. And I'm glad he is coming back. He must have been off his meds. But, again, I'm glad he's coming back. You know, we have done these shows for 10 years, and I was going over something. I know, Ellen, please contact Mr. Lewis. I see him in the studio. Tell if there's a time restraint, because I want to set it up really quickly. It's only going to take 2 minutes, but I don't know if he's on a time restraint, because we'll go right to the interview. So if you can go in private with Mr. Lewis, please let me know, because I don't want to take
okay.
his time. Okay. Thank
okay.
you, sweetheart.
Uh-huh.
We've been doing a show for 10 years, and sometimes when you well, I'll wait till Mr. Lewis come up, because I would like to hear, see if he can hear the story. Sometimes things go wrong, and people
hey,
ask
Brian,
me
yes, he said do whatever you need to do. He's not on a time restraint.
All right, I'm going to do it really fast, because I know his time is very valuable. So when we do, when people ask me, and I've been doing a show for 10 years, they say, who are the hardest people to interview? Because we have interviewed head of states. We have interviewed queens. The one in Africa didn't go so well. There's a revolution. Not my fault. We have, we have gone on. Oh, yeah. We have interviewed authors, great authors, with Mai Haley from Roots, and talk about her husband, Haley, you know. The guy who did Roots, Alex Haley. So they said, who are the hardest people you want to interview? I said, musicians. And they said, why? I said, well, they don't wake up until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Number one, and our show starts at 10. And I go, and musicians are hard because they're musical artists, right? I mean, whatever they have to say, it's in a song. So if you interview a musician, it's like, hey, so how are you doing? I'm doing fine, dude. Okay, well, tell me about your latest album. Well, did you hear the CD? No. Well, listen to the CD. It tells everything about it. Oh, okay. So, well, that's it. Hey, thanks. It's been a good time. Talk to you later, dude. So it's hard to interview musicians. I love them, but it's hard. And the reason I'm saying this is because when shit goes wrong, you're in the shit, and you're on live radio, and you're in the shit, and I guess you're not worth your salt if shit doesn't go wrong. And so I was thinking about Elliot Lewis all night, and I usually don't think about interviews. I'm going, okay, this shit has to go good. It's okay, he knows Ellen. Okay, fine, shit's going good. Don't say anything to offend him. Don't say anything about rehab. Don't say anything about anything. Stick to the music. Fine. And so I want to play, this is 2 minutes, and I'm going with the introduction. It's 2 minutes when shit goes wrong. So here's the Breakfast Club, and I want to play it because we had a Breakfast Club on our show, and it's 2 minutes. So the Breakfast Club is a radio show. A lot of people go on there to promote their music. Well, they had a rapper on there. His name was Birdman. So he was coming in the studio, and this is what happened.
Yes, sir. I'm going to start this shit off straight, telling all three of y'all stop playing with my name.
Just go on there and go.
Stop playing with my fucking name.
Go on, do it on camera.
Stop playing with my name.
Let's go right on in.
Nigga, when my name come up, respect it.
Let's go.
Stop playing with my fucking name. All three of y'all, stop playing with my name. I ain't going to say it no more.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy Angela Yee, Charlamagne the Guy. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
He done cursed us out. Tell him, get it off your chest, Birdman.
I ain't got to talk no more.
Because I don't understand the angle. Like what?
I did it already.
So why come here?
I did it already. I'm here. So what's happening?
I'm here. It's all good. But I'm saying, why?
And I'm here. What's happening?
I'm all good. But I'm saying, why come here just
look,
to
I'm
curse
here.
Us
what's
up?
What's happening, man? I wanted to see you. I wanted to talk to you on your man and your face.
Absolutely.
You understand me? I knew a few places you was at. I could have pulled up, but I don't think that was gangster. I wanted to come look in your face like a man and tell you how I feel.
Okay.
You understand me? Straight up like a man.
So what's the issue?
Ain't no issue. If it was an issue, you'll feel me. I just come to let y'all know, stop, put some respect on my name. You understand me? When y'all saying my name, put some respect on it.
Did you pull up on Ross that way or Trick Daddy?
Man, I'm pulling up on you, nigga.
Yeah. Wait, I'm the radio guy. Why pull up on the radio guy? Don't act up with the radio guy.
Hey, my nigga. Y'all finished or y'all done? I ain't got no more talking. That's why.
All right. See you later, nigga.
And that's when a radio thing goes wrong. So I hope Mr. Elliott doesn't call me a I hope Mr. Elliott doesn't call me a nigga today. He may call it me that later, but not on the air. Please, we'll edit it. So we had our own little breakfast club. So we had Ben Drover. Okay, Ben Drover from Megadeth on the show. Yeah, it went worse than this on Megadeth. Hey, nice to have you, Mr. Drover. Yeah, I'm here. All right, well, it went sideways to a point where I was yelling at him. He was yelling at me. There was some F words going on. And then CBS got upset. And then his agent said that Mr. Drover was so shaken that he couldn't even stand up. He had to sit down. I said, the dude's from Megadeth. Why is he acting like a bitch? See, that's your attitude, Mr. Hammer. He's an artist. And he would, I go, he's a bitch. And then we couldn't work it out. And he yelled at me. And this is all on the air. I was happy to interview Megadeth. You're Megadeth. I didn't expect Mega Bitch. But anyway.
yep. I remember that day.
Remember that? Oh, my God. It was live on the air, too. And I was saying, oh, damn.
Yeah, and that happened to be the day that my dad was listening.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was his words?
He go, Elliot, excuse my French, but this is words coming from my dad. My dad called me up later that day and said, what the fuck is Brian's problem?
I know. Oh, anyway, it goes sideways. So I'm hoping that Ellen's going to take the interview, so nothing's going to happen. So Ellen will take the interview. I will jump in because I don't want it to go sideways. But Elliot Lewis is one of my favorite guys. I just want to know.
We can do it together. It won't go sideways.
We'll do it together. Hall & Oates, Daryl's House, Elliot Lewis in there. He's touring now. He's solo. We're going to have some of his songs. He's one of the best in the business. This reminds me of when Nikki Six called me up. I'll tell you the story later with Nikki Six. I go, who the fuck is Nikki Six? And they go, well, you know, Nikki Six,
oh,
Motley Crue. Who the fuck? Because I'm not a rocker. I don't know a rocker. I go, Motley Crue. What the Motley Crue? Do you know Tommy Lee? Tommy Lee. And I swear to God, here's how I was introduced to Tommy Lee. I go, because I'm with R&B and everything. I go, who's Tommy Lee? That's that white dude with the big dick. White dude with the big dick? There's no white dude with the big dick. It's Tommy Lee. And then he goes, what? And then they showed me the movie. They showed me with Pamela Aniston, the X-rated movie. I go, Tommy Lee, that's Tommy Lee. Yeah, white dude with big dick. I go, that's amazing. What's amazing, Tommy Lee? No, white dude with big dick. Anyway, so that was my introduction to rock. So before I offend Mr. Lewis, I am now tapping out. Ladies and gentlemen, for your listening pleasure, Ellen Johnson is going to interview Mr. Elliot Lewis with Hall and Oates. Ellen, I'm tapping out. I'm here if you need me, okay?
Yep.
Everybody, listen to the interview. Like to come in the studio? The number is what, Ellen?
The number, if you'd like to come into the studio and join us, is 319-527-6099. And now,
enjoy the show, y'all.
Welcome into the show.
Mr. Elliot Lewis.
Oh, my God.
Yep. So, welcome to the show. Again, Elliot, this is your second time joining us.
I got to say, I love you guys. Brian, don't be scared. I swear I am not going to give you a Megadeth experience.
You hear that, Brian? You can come on in. You don't have to sit back in the corner. Be fair.
Oh, my God. That was the funniest story. I love it.
Yeah. Brian, yeah, that actually happened with Glenn Drover. Yep. Dad actually did call me up and ask me in those exact words. So... But, Elliot, welcome back to the show. Your new
oh,
album.
Oh, great! Great to be back with you guys. Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So your latest album, Life Happens. It's a 6-song EP. I mean, what is the difference between? Is there a difference? I mean, because I've seen that most albums are like 10, 11 songs. Why only six songs?
Yeah, you know, okay, so the reason I'm doing EPs is, it's just, I kind of look at the musical landscape to see what people in my range are doing, and it just made more sense for me to put out music more frequently instead of waiting like, you know, a year and a half and collecting, say, 10 or 12 songs that I think should be warranted on a full-length CD. So I just been opting to put out EPs, and 6 songs is about the average. If you go on like iTunes or whatever, that's pretty much the normal EP. So, you know, to me it's just right. It's like enough music to get an idea of a whole collection of songs, but it's not too much. Hopefully it keeps your interest. So that's been working out for me, and I've been doing EPs now for, I don't know, about the past 5 or 6 years. My last CD before this one, The Life Happens, was a full-length CD because I got signed pretty much to a major label, which I wasn't expecting to, and they wanted to do a full-length CD. But this one is independently released, so I'm sort of back into that mode. But,
Do you find it easier to have a big record label behind you, or do you find it easier to be doing everything on your own?
Well, you know, it's definitely, if you have the right team and you have the right company behind you, obviously they're going to do a lot for you, hopefully, and, you know, alleviate a lot of the responsibility from the artist's shoulders. So the label that I was with was distributed by Universal, which is a major distributor. But I didn't really get, I guess, all of the backing that I was hoping to get. So, and like I said, I wasn't looking and going out searching for a record deal. It sort of came to me. So I figured there's really no downside to it. They were great to work with. They kind of let me kind of do my thing, and they created this great CD package for me. And, but at the end of the day, you know, it's still up to the artist, unless, you know, you hook up with the right company that really want to put a lot of money into you. It's sort of up to the artist to sort of, you know, promote yourself and market yourself. So
yeah.
I just figured I keep it streamlined, and I have enough of a little fan base out there, and just, you know, I can sort of without getting more people involved in my career, I can sort of streamline the process and move a little bit more quickly, you know? So I tend to do a lot of stuff myself. I'm very hands-on, and I've done this stuff for so many years that kind of, you know, I kind of know what to do at this point, I hope. I'm still trying anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, you know, the latest album, Life Happens. What, if anything, is behind the title?
Well, you know, it's all my songs are just based on my experiences and just interpreting what's happening around me. And, you know, I guess there's a song also called Living in the Moment. I did a video for it that's sort of the song that kicks off the CD. So, you know, I'm in this place in my life right now at my age and my career that I'm very into living in the moment and getting the most out of what's happening and the experiences that I'm going through. So, so Life Happens is just about that. You know, it's like make the best of the moment right now, because life will pass you by unless you live for it right now. So that's the premise of a lot of my songs. And, I'm an optimist. So a lot of my songs sort of have that sort of vibe and that sort of, you know, perspective on life.
I think everybody should live for the moment, you know, because you never know. You're not guaranteed
anything.
So hope.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like one of those things too. When you're an artist and you're in front of a lot of people, thousands of people in an audience, and a lot of them are watching the show on their cell phone. You know, they have their cell phone up and they're kind of videoing it. And I get that, you know, because you sort of want to document it. But how many times do you go back and look at that footage?
Mm-hmm.
My feeling is put the phone down and look at what's happening and enjoy the experience that's happening in front of you. I think you get more out of it that way, you know. And we get so distracted about what's going on in our lives. You know, there's so much coming at us. There's so much information and social media that we're not quite living in the moment as much as we should be, because there's so much distraction around us all the time.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, my songs reflect that a little bit.
Yeah, technology, I mean, it's both good and bad. You know, good.
Totally. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So, I think Brian may have a question. Brian, do you have any questions? You know, Elliot.
Well, yes, I do.
Good.
Huh? Okay.
I was thinking,
well, yes.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Hmm?
No, I thought something.
Can you hear me, kiddo?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you
hear me?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, I could. You're doing great. I didn't want to
interrupt
in between the interview. Mr. Elliot Lewis, thank you so much for coming in. You guys are talking really great. I didn't want to disturb the rhythm, but you guys are great, and welcome back to the studio. You're one of my favorite rockers.
Oh, it's my pleasure to. Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here. You know, I'm just I'm still acclimating because I'm just off a tour. You know, I just got back 2 days ago with Hall & Oates. We were over in Europe, you know, so a little bit of a time difference, but I'm getting there. I'm only been back a day and a half, so.
Thank you so much.
Great to be with you. Great to be with you guys.
Oh, it's great. Well, I'm on Twitter, and I did write a little letter to John. You know, a little Hall & Oates
mm-hmm.
thing, because I'm a fan. I made a suggestion.
Yeah.
I said, shouldn't it be Elliot Lewis and Oates? I mean, what do you think? What's feedback? You know, and I think I was blocked. You know,
we've discussed it. It's been brought up. It would be L and Oates. I think it's got a nice rhythm to it.
that would be great. Yeah.
John. I'm sorry, Daryl. What about Daryl?
Daryl seems
Daryl's
to me
got
like
plenty
a troublemaker.
Of stuff going on.
Daryl seems like a troublemaker.
Daryl seems to me like he's a problem child. I mean, he's funny. He's kind of a wild card. I mean, just when I see the videos and everything, I like this guy. You know, I'm the guy when I have a bear with, and you end up in a bar fight for some reason. I don't know. But that's who he's, the kind of guy who I think he is, you know. He's a great guy. But let's talk
about
you.
Well, I'm not going
about you
even
and,
close to that. No. No, Daryl, I will tell you this. He's, you know, I've known Daryl now for like 20 years or so, because I met him way back when I was still in the Average White Band, and now I've been in the band mm-hmm. for 13 or so years. I have to say this about Daryl. He is, how he approaches everything musically, he is really passionate. He really still, his heart is so into what he does. And he's a perfectionist. You know, he's got that side of him that, you know, sometimes everything isn't good enough. You know, he certainly has a strong ego and some confidence. But I think, you know, you need that in part of your personality to get sometimes to that level of success. But having said that, he's really passionate. He puts everything into his performance and his singing. And, you know, he's out there at whatever he is. I think he's 71 or 72 now, and he's still touring the world. And, you know, it's pretty amazing. He looks great. And, you know, John's a sweetheart. And, you know, they're really both a pleasure to be around. And sometimes people you know, they'll come up with these sort of preconceived ideas like, you know, how is it working with Daryl and John? They hate each other, right? I'm going, no, of course mm-hmm. they don't. I'm around them all the time, and they're still friends. You know, they still have tons of respect for each other, and, you know, they know they sort of created this thing, and they have this history with their music, and they still enjoy it. They still really enjoy the whole experience. So that's pleasant to be around for me and the band, you know.
So it is all about the music, isn't it? I mean, they're going to have differences. We all have differences. We're individual. But when it comes down to it, it's all about the music, isn't it, Ellen? It's but people don't know how talented you are. Well, they do because you're performing. But I'm just saying you're a humble guy, and you probably don't talk about your life. But you grew up in a musical family. I mean, your mother was a pianist, and you started drums at 10. And you formed
indeed.
Your own band at 12?
Yeah, even 10 or 11, I was playing with my best friend who was still in elementary school, and he was. And we started playing religiously every day, 3 hours a day. I don't know if you know the story, but his father was in the music business and introduced me and him to, you know, all of my heroes of the day, The Who and Elton John and Alice Cooper and on, Peter Frampton I was jamming with when I was a little kid. So I was exposed to so much so early on in my life, and that really kind of that was really the inspiration to keep this going forward my whole life, I guess, you know.
Fantastic.
So it's pretty interesting adventure for me.
But, you know, are you known? I mean, people don't know. I don't know if people know or not. You're a songwriter. Do you get a lot of credit for writing your original music? Paul McCartney does, John Lennon does, but do you get the credit of writing some of the songs? And have you written any songs for Hall & Oates?
You know, I haven't gotten involved in writing with them. When I joined the band, they had just completed their first CD, and that was a CD of cover music, and they had never done that before. And it was basically a tribute to all the Philadelphia artists that they were inspired by. So after that, they haven't actually recorded any new music. So there really hasn't been, they've done solo stuff, but there hasn't really been an opportunity. And Daryl really has his own little sort of network of people, his producer. John has his own separate band that he records with. So there just really hasn't been the opportunity for me to do that. I did when I was with the Average White Band. I was much more of a contributing, creative element in the band. But I kind of figured that's the way it would happen with Daryl and John. I mean, it's Daryl Hall and John Oates, and they're the songwriters. So I never really expected to get involved in writing. It wasn't an expectation. It was just kind of, I'm going to play this great music and have this great experience and just continue on with my own career. So it's all worked out.
Well, you're great. I would love to have fun with you, but your autobiography is so fascinating. I mean, we have a short period of time. I really want people to know really how talented you are, and that you're. And like I said, a lot of people. Ellen, did you know that he's a songwriter?
No, I didn't. Mm-mm.
Yeah. See, there's a lot of things you don't know. Usually, Mr. Lewis, when we have a rocker, a legendary rocker, or a musician in here, we usually have our musical names to make them feel good. Ellen, what is my rocker name so I can interview properly?
Your rocker name is the Angel of Darkness. That's your rocker name.
Angel of Darkness. That's my rocker name.
That's perfect.
And Ellen's rocker name is Hips, Lips, and Swallow.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Her name.
Yeah.
And
Elliot, and like, hi,
I'm not sure
that?
She's really into that name.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
and
play
you gave
song.
Me that name, Brian?
I'm going to change your name because it's not politically correct. You're now called Sugar Tits.
Oh, my God. You gave me that name, but who gave me the other name?
The Bands, baby. You're with the Bands all the time. You know the Bands. You are my
what?
Rock and roll encyclopedia. You know everything. But there's a song that you, it's one of my favorite songs of all time, and I think it's going to be your favorite, that you did not know that Mr. Elliot Lewis, I think you produced it. I'm only going to play a little bit of it. And I did
okay.
not know this, Mr. Elliot Lewis. Here's a song. It's one of my favorites. Here it is. There's a gentleman. Oh, it's queuing it up. Do you remember a gentleman named Dan Hartman, Alan? If you don't
yes,
know, it's
I
okay.
do. Yes, I do.
All right. Do you know you know the song? This is one of my favorite songs, and I did not know Elliot Lewis helped to produce this song. Am I correct, Mr. Lewis? Did you help produce it, or?
I didn't know. No, I didn't. But there is a little backstory to it. But no, I did
Uh-oh.
Not. I have to get that's all Dan Hartman. That's all Dan Hartman.
Oh.
But I'll give you the little story is that I worked with Dan Hartman back after he did that song. Dan Hartman sort of took me under his wing because he lived in the same town as me and used me on a lot of his records that he was producing. So Tina Turner, Joe Cocker, Nona Hendricks from the Pointer Sisters. So I was really, and I was only about 23 or 4 years old, but he obviously mm-hmm. wrote that great song, I Can Dream About You, but he wrote that, and I never knew it back then, he wrote that for Daryl and John. So when
oh, wow.
Daryl and John did this comeback, or this tribute record, when I joined the band back in whatever, 2003, was called Our Kind of Soul. They actually included that song because they knew that Dan wrote that for them. But when he wrote that for them, at that point, Daryl and John just didn't need it. They had already finished a record. They had all the songs they needed. But they wanted to sort of give Dan a little bit of credit and tribute to him for writing that song. And it's an incredible song. So when I joined the band, we did this whole promotional tour where I was playing guitar on radio stations and we were doing that song. So it was sort of mm-hmm. a bit of a full circle moment, but it's a great song. But no, I didn't write or produce that. That's all Dan.
okay.
I could be wrong about this, Elliot, but didn't they use that song, I've Been Dreaming About You, in a movie?
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
they
Streets
did.
Of Fire.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
But he has not
really great song.
It's a great song until Hartman comes on a show. Who cares? Back to Elliot. Thank you. So,
well,
Average White Band.
Yeah.
Walk on by. Oh my God. I mean, I listened to the Average White Band once, and I was a pubescent young buck, and it made my pubic hair stand up. And I decided to buy the album.
Uh-huh.
I mean, really did. You know, you were there, in the late 80s? You were with the Average White Band?
Yeah. So what happened was I started writing with Alan Gorey, the original bass player in the band. Average White mm-hmm. Band broke up. You know, they started around, I guess, around 73, and then they went up until about 1983. Then they broke up. And I started working with Alan Gorey, the bass player, around 87. And I had, you know, talking about songwriting and stuff, you know, I was just a songwriter at that point, kind of heading towards producing and songwriting engineering. And Alan and I got together as songwriting partners, and we wrote for about a year or two, and then they put the band back together. And I just became a member by default because I was writing with him, and they invited me to do their comeback record. And that's really how I met Hall & Oates. That's how I met Daryl's, because Alan and Daryl had been friends since the 70s. But, you know, yeah, 13 years later, it was a great experience.
Wow.
I mean, they wrote some really great songs, and that was my first. You know, when I was a kid, I kind of gave up the idea of being in a band and playing live. It just didn't happen for me. By a certain age, and I realized, okay, I've got to be a songwriter, because that's really what the whole business revolves around is a good song,
mm-hmm.
is a great song. So that was the mission I was on. But when Average White Band reformed, I was like, well, okay, here's my chance to go out and tour the world and do what I originally wanted to do when I was a kid. So yeah. And then 13 years later, I left Average White Band and then got invited to join Hall & Oates.
That is amazing. Now, when you were 16, did you really love the music, or did you do it to get laid? I mean, when you're 16, I picked up the guitar. I didn't know how to play it. I just held it, and pussy ran all over the streets. So,
Maybe there's a little bit of that in there. Yeah, I mean, I started playing when I was 10, and you're definitely not thinking about pussy when you're 10. but at 16, I decided I basically just said I'm going to give up drums and I'm going to become a guitar player because I wanted to write songs. So I'm sure there was a little bit of that in my brain. I wanted to maybe be a little bit more visible in the band. And, you know, whatever. But, I mean, it was really songwriting that propelled me to want to, to learn chordal instruments. I had learned a little bit of keyboards, but guitar really fascinated me. And, you know, it was really the first person that inspired me to write songs was Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick. I got into Cheap Trick when I was about 14 or 15. And I would turn the record over back in the days when we had records and go, wow, this goofy looking guy wrote all of these songs. And I thought, if this guy can do it, maybe I've got a shot. They're one of my heroes. I love them. And, you know, they were on Daryl's show and I got to work with them and cross paths with them many times. So, but that was a turning moment for me. Rick Nielsen, thank you.
Wow.
Are you going to be touring with Darius Rucker and Hootie and the Blowfish? I mean, because they're putting together a new album, and they're going to be touring this summer, I believe. Are you going to be part of that?
Oh, no, no. So Darius was just one of the guests that was on Daryl's house. Hall & Oates have quite a few dates this year. We've just did 2.5 weeks in Europe and the UK, and we're going to South America in a couple of weeks. Actually, I've got my own tour coming up next week in the Midwest, and then we go to South America with Hall & Oates and then back to Europe. So I'm pretty full on between my own career and Hall & Oates for this year anyway. But next year, who knows? You know, if Darius calls, maybe I'll try that.
Well, you know,
but he's
a
great guy. I give him a lot of credit. Darius is a really talented guy, and how he's crossed over into the country world is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Not many people have done that successfully. You know.
Yeah.
That phone call, you left the Average White Band. What was that phone call like when Daryl was the one who contacted you, and what was that phone call like? You just left Average White Band. How did that phone call go?
Well, it wasn't a total surprise, because this is what happened, is that when I was still with the Average White Band, you know, we toured over the UK every year, so a couple of times a year almost, because those guys were Scottish. So we spent a lot of time over there. So Daryl lived there as well as in the States, and he would come and sit in with the Average White Band. So he would come and watch us, and he would see me perform with them. And at that point, I was singing half of the lead. I was playing bass, a little bit of keyboards. And for whatever reason, he came up to me after a few performances and said, hey, I want you in my band. And
oh, really?
I had to kind of wait until the time was right. I wasn't going to just jump ship from the Average White Band. It was probably another year or so that went by. And I was like, okay, I never expected my time with Average White Band to go so long. I thought I would do this for 5 years or so and move on to something else. But after you know it, 13 years pass, and I was like, okay, enough, and I want to get back to doing my own thing. So I knew Daryl wanted me in the band or was interested in having me in Hall & Oates. So about a year and a half went by, and I was just back on my track doing my own records and my own shows And then I got a call from T-Bone, who is the bass player, was the bass player. He passed away, obviously. And Daryl's sort of right-hand man. And he called me and said, hey, we're looking for a guy. Daryl's doing a solo tour, and we're looking for somebody who can play a little bit of percussion and sing and play bass and keyboards. And we're like, oh, we got to call Elliot. So I'll never forget that call, because I did the solo tour with Daryl. And then at the end of that tour, he said, hey, we'd love you in the band full time. But the interesting thing is that, you know, I never considered myself a real keyboard player. It was always like I play keys to write music. But the position that was open was the keyboard position, because they had a guitar player. T-Bone was transferring over to guitar, and they had another guitar player. So, you know, I assumed the role of the keyboard player in the band at that time, and it just sort of stuck. So a lot of people know me as a keyboard player and don't really know that my main instrument is guitar. So, but it's all good to me, because I have this variety. You know, I can wear a few different hats.
Yeah, that's true. But it must be, was it traumatic? I mean, we already know, we went over your chops. You know, you got the rock and roll chops. You're the real deal. You're a legend. Are you kidding me? Hall of Famer. Oh, my God. A Hall of Famer on my show? Are you kidding me? But how was it your first? You went solo. At this point, you don't need the money. And you're with the guys. I mean, you could have just enjoyed just being Elliot Lewis, you know. But you decided to go solo. What? And then go back to that touring thing,
yeah,
and booking thing, and, you know, the hassle of this. And now it's a new world, Mr. Lewis. It's a new world. Now we got social media. It's like, we didn't have that in the 70s and 80s. What the fuck is this?
And I know.
So you, yeah, so now you go solo, and you say, well, I figure you're drug free. Well, maybe not. You're going solo. Don't keep the drugs.
I am indeed.
But anyway.
I'm completely drug free. I'm a vegan,
wow,
almost. That's how far.
You're a vegan. You're a rocker.
Yeah.
You can't be a vegan.
I get up early.
No.
And he gets up too, Brian. So
this is a man who played with Alice Cooper. You cannot be a vegan. I know he gets up early. Oh my God, rock and roll is dead.
Yeah, it is. I'm exploding the stereotype.
You're ruining everything. I was going to smell your fingers just to see your tour dates of the yesteryear. But now you go solo. What in the hell are you thinking? Now you're solo. You're the front man. You're playing your first concert as a front man in your solo album. What are you feeling at this moment? What are you feeling?
Oh, well, you know, the original inspiration for me way back when I started was always to be my sort of own artist. You know, I never set out to be like a band member. You know, the average white band thing just happened because I was, like I said, I was there by default. And so I just kind of went along for the ride because I knew it was going to be a great experience. But I always never try to lose sight of the fact that I was still my own artist, that I was going to continue to write music, put out as much as I could, and tour as much as I could. So, you know, I never wanted to give that up. So when I joined Hall & Oates, I figured I'm going to try my hardest to try to find a balance between being a member of this incredible band and having these incredible experiences and playing my dream gigs any, you know, musician could ever dream of, playing Madison Square Garden and Budokan and the biggest places in the world, and still have my own solo career. So it took a lot of planning and logistical work to kind of keep that balance. But, you know, my first love is my own performances. You know, I mean, writing music and performing my own music is definitely the biggest thrill for me. It actually is more important than walking out, you know, in Madison Square Garden being a band member. I'd rather play for 100 people in a small venue and play my own music. I get more joy out of that, honestly. But it's all good.
Cool.
You know, I have this incredible balance that I never thought I would really have, but it's sort of worked out that way.
You're one cool guy. See, Ellen introduced me to the rock world, and I read the newspapers about you rockers and destroying hotels and throwing out TVs and hurting innocent people. And so I said, let me look into this. But when we come back,
sounds like fun.
It does. I'm missing the crazy party. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Mr. Elliot Lewis regarding working with the ZZ Tops people and if they ever shaved, if he ever saw them shaved, whatever. We'll talk about that. But Ellen's going to cue up a song because, again, Mr. Elliot Lewis is. Are you on tour currently right now, Elliot? Or
No, I'm just back home for a week, and I leave again next week for the Midwest to do my own tour, my own mini tour for 2 weeks. Yeah,
great. Well, we're gonna hear a couple of songs. Ellen, do you have it queued up, my dear?
Well, I have stuff that we had in the studio before.
Well, it's okay. It's still Elliot. He's still selling them.
Yeah, we have Elliot Lewis music.
Right, we want to hear music too, but we got.
Yeah, while I go down and find it.
Okay. Let me know when you find it. This is when we stall on live air, and this is where I bond with the artist.
Don't worry, don't be afraid.
You know,
hang in there.
I'll hang in there. See, I should have stopped taking the drugs, but anyway, Mr. Lewis, you know. Oh, you have it? She's quick. You have it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. This
well,
is,
you
this
set
is,
it up, and I'll step out.
Elliot Lewis, his song, Back to Basic.
Oh, I heard that one. I love that. All right, Mr. Elliot Lewis, Back to Basic. Hit it, hips, lips, and swallow.
God.
Absolutely wonderful. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm going to throw you my T-shirt with my phone number. Excellent. Excellent.
I love that song.
All right.
That
tell
song.
Us,
what a
we let the,
what a crowd you have there.
I know. Look at that. They're rockers. I want to ask you a question. All right. Settle down. Settle down. Must be the free bear. No, they love you. I want to ask you a question, though. You know, as a man,
yeah.
guy to guy, I mean, we put on our underwear at the same time. I mean, the same leg. Some. Do you,
oh
now, have you ever not wear? Well, we do. I'm sure. Have you ever not? You know, you're touring. You're in a hotel room. I mean, you're constantly going, going, going. We don't have time to. Have you ever performed with no underwear on at all?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go, Ellen. I knew it.
Oh my God.
I win.
Sometimes there's no time for that, and sometimes you just need to be free. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
I know,
my God.
I know what you're saying. Have you ever stuck
yeah,
have, you,
okay,
have you ever
okay,
stuffed
let me say something that
yeah.
could be good, that would be fine for you, Elliot, but I'm sure that there are plenty of women in the front row who are going crazy at that time.
Oh, he knows it. He's the Tommy Lee of all notes. That's what I hear. Now, Elliot, it's like you and I are guy to guy. We'll talk guy to guy. And you're a great
okay.
musician and everything. I understand that. Well, you know, I saw a concert. It was on TV, MTV kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was Tom Jones was performing. And I remember as a child when Tom Jones was performing, my stepmother went crazy. You know, women go crazy. But now he's performing
oh, yeah.
in 2010. And the audience
mm-hmm.
changed. I have never seen so many blue-haired, gray ladies. I mean, it's like a sea of gray. And,
right.
And it was kind of – so how do you feel when you go and when you're starting out, and you know, the kids, the teeny boppers, whatever. Yeah, Elliot, you know. Now when you perform, they're saying, Elliot. I mean, you know what I mean? Is it a psychological thing like, damn? How do you feel, you know, how do you feel about that? Do you think that, I don't know, that... we don't think we're getting
you know
old.
What?
We're all getting old, but what do you think?
Yeah. I say, you know what I say? I say embrace it. Be yourself. You know, if you're an aging musician, artist, and you're trying to just appeal to young kids, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be true to what you are and who you are at your age. You know, I mean, obviously, in the 13 years I've been with Daryl and John, I've seen their audience change and grow up. Now it's like they have, you know, the age range is probably like 50 to late 60s, somewhere in that range, maybe even. But there's more and more younger people showing up at their shows, and they're that age range are bringing their kids, and they're singing along to every song. So it's really kind of cool. It becomes a multi-generational experience in a way, you know. And I know a lot of bands that are in that age group that share that, you know, they have their core audience that have been following them for so many years, and now they're bringing their kids along. So I think it's kind of cool. I say embrace it and just be who you are and accept, you know, what your age is and your fans. If they're still into your music and following you and supporting you, so be it. I think it's great.
And wonderful. I just have one more question. I'll let hips take it. We'll talk shop. Nobody's listening. Well, yeah, we got some people listening. But
Ryan, we have
you know, when
we have King and Arkansas Mike is in the studio, and I think they have questions.
Oh,
cool.
Okay. Well, they want to talk to the legend, and hopefully they want to talk to you too. I'm joking. Anyway, I just want to ask one more question, then I'll let the audience through. You know, between me and you, we talk out of school. You're touring. You're with some people. Sometimes you're touring with four or five bands. Okay, maybe you're the headliner. Maybe you're not the headliner. Is there ever a band that you go, oh my God, those motherfuckers? Are you really? Are they on the same tour with us? I can't stand that son of a bitch. And who is it?
Oh wow. You know, I honestly haven't had that experience. I mean, maybe there was way back when with Average Weight Band, but I mean, I don't think there's been any band that we've toured with. And Hall & Oates don't tour with a ton of people. They usually only have one opener. Last year we were playing with Train, and I love Train. Mm-hmm. I think they're a fantastic band. Pat Monahan was on Daryl's show, so we worked with him then. The year before that was Tears for Fears, and Alan Stone. I mean, so it's like they're all great. You know, there's nobody that's, but they handpick these people. You know, they're very sure that they're going to be compatible musically, and I think, you know, they're going to be compatible personally too. And fit on the bill. So there hasn't been really, honestly, there hasn't been any crazy bad stories of like, you know, working with anybody that I hate. They're all pretty good.
Oh, okay. That's good. Now, how about the music label guys, the studios, they're bastards, those motherfuckers. You know what I mean? They are. I'll say it because I can't play anything. I worked with CBS right. And I'm waiting for them to apologize to me. Anyway, you know the label people, you know the producers, you know what it takes to get the show on, but you know the responsibility that you are signed to a contract with this label. Have you ever had a problem with a label that is just ripping you off or exploiting you and any kind of conflict like that?
No, because I've only had the one experience myself as an artist with that label a couple of years ago. And it was honestly, it was very positive. They just didn't do maybe quite as much as I was hoping for them to do. But in general, it was very, very positive. So I know I've heard horror stories. I just haven't lived through them. Daryl and John, on the other hand, have definitely lived through all of those experiences. I've heard, secondhand stories. But myself, no, I haven't really experienced that. You know, in most of my solo career, I've been doing stuff myself. So I just have me to answer to. I beat myself up.
Elliot, what did you do with that money? Where's
exactly.
that money going?
I do beat myself up occasionally. So, you know, I'll have a fight with myself. But I know in the end I'll win. So.
you know, in his 60s. Girls bands, come on, really, girls bands? Between me and you, we're guys. Girls, really? Okay, fine.
Right.
We'll let them in. We'll let the girls play. But do we have a preconceived notion? We're talking way back when we're reckless, when we're 17, 18, 20. We're in that area. We're not now. And we're,
yeah.
You know. Do you think that, like, they're nothing but whores?
Wow.
I mean, come on. We're talking at the time of what was it, Jimi Hendrix? Who was he with? Janis Joplin, and we're talking mm-hmm. Joan Jett, Janis Joplin. We're talking the rockers.
That was
come on,
18,
the hardcore
Brian.
Rockers. That's an easy lay. That's an easy lay.
Joan Jett.
Come on.
It's a little bit before my time for me to have any experiences. But you know what? It was a different time back then. And certainly the 70s mm-hmm. were a completely different era. And I don't think that exists as much as it does did back then. You know, the whole groupie mm-hmm. thing. I don't see it. It's not really a part of my, you know, with Hall & Oates anyway, in my own solo career. I mean, you know, so I don't know. I think it's a different landscape now.
If the one who got away, and this is my last question, the one who got away, you're in the top of your rock. I mean, you're probably married, you have kids and everything. We're talking when you were reckless and you were like, you know, early 16, 17, 18. The one who got away, Mr. Elliot Lewis, that you saw her perform and you go, oh, God. And she, you know what I mean? Was there one woman? I can go with George Harrison and I can go with Eric Clapton with Layla. It was her. Was there one mm-hmm. person who got away that you wish that you would have made a move or banged her?
Nope. Nope.
You are ruining my whole rock and roll experience, Mr. Elliot Lewis. You vegan, you. I'm gonna let
you know. I briefly worked with it's a real quick story. In the late 80s, I briefly worked with Brooke Shields. I was assigned to Sony as a you know writer. I had a publishing deal with them, and they put the two of us together. She at one point thought she wanted to do music. You know, she can get out of the modeling thing and do music, and she tried it. And we got together, and she brought me home to her mom, and her mom looked me up and down and looked at her and said, "Boy, you guys make a great looking couple." And for that moment,
wow.
for 10 seconds, I thought, wow, do I have a shot with Brooke Shields? And I was like 24 years old or something like that. And
wow.
I saw this whole new Knowing future her. Flash before my eyes, but it was not to be.
Well, if you couldn't get Brooke Shields, you know you could have banged that mother. That mother was nuts. She was not a, she was gonna,
who
that
knows?
That still counts. It still counts.
Oh, my God.
Right.
We're going to open up. We're going to open up the studio, and Mr. Elliot has to go. We kept him so long, and thank you so much for your time, sir. This is King. King is a rapper, and he's an artist, and he's really, really good. And he's here, and I think he has a question, and then we're going to go to Arkansas Mike. King Webb, you have a question. How you doing, my brother? And thank you for coming in. You know,
hey, good morning,
Brian.
How's everybody doing this morning?
We're doing good. You're on live with Mr. Elliot Lewis.
Hey, how you doing, Elliot?
Calling up.
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, I was very excited for this show because I remember, you know, I was born in the 80s, so I'm a young guy. So, you know, I remember listening to the Sarah Smile and the Can't Go for That
yeah.
song. And I wanted to ask you, did you, were you a part of, you know, helping, like, produce and write that song with them?
No, that's before my time with them. I didn't join until 2003. So, but
okay.
I was totally aware of those songs. You know, back in the 80s,
okay.
I would
yeah.
never have said I was a Hall & Oates fan, but I was certainly
yeah.
as a writer myself, I was so aware of their songwriting ability and their craftsmanship.
Yeah.
And it became, I mean, they had so many hits that I could go,
yes.
oh, that's Daryl Hall. You know, he had this very
yes.
identifiable voice. And, I mean, you know, No Can Do is, that's, you know, probably still gets the biggest reaction of the night. So
yes.
that one of the most fun songs to play. And I get to play that sample. I get to trigger
oh, yeah.
that original sample.
yeah.
So that's
yeah, and
fun.
I also want to give you a compliment, too. I really like that Back to Basics song that we just listened to earlier. And I heard them mentioning that you're gonna be touring in the Midwest, and I'm originally
yeah.
from Wichita, Kansas, and so I don't know if you're gonna stop through there, but you should definitely go to Winfield. I have you know some wonderful people I know down there. They do different rock concerts down that way, so you know you should check that out.
Oh, awesome, man. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not going to
yes.
get there this, you know, maybe later in the year, but on this run,
okay.
it's mostly like, you know, Michigan, Ohio area. But I'll definitely have to check that out. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah, I know before I moved and came out here to Phoenix, Arizona, I know in Winfield, they have the Wheatland Jam concert, and I can't think of it off the top of my head, but the guy that sings Bad to the Bone, I got a chance to meet
mm-hmm.
him, and I got a chance to meet a few other country artists as well. But, yeah, I definitely enjoyed
cool.
that song. And so also for those who are tuning in and everything, because I had made the status, and if I said it correctly, you're a part of the Hall & Oates band, right?
Yes. Exactly.
Yes,
okay, exactly.
He's the what's the correct answer? I wanted to say I don't want to say organ. I mean, you're the
keyboard
not the pianist, but
yeah,
Keyboard.
Keyboards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keyboard.
Yeah.
Plays keyboard.
And,
okay.
And, you know,
he's a good. He's a good looking
things,
one, King.
And most of us all sing background, so you know Hall and Oates
okay.
music has a lot of backing vocals, so we all sing. And once in a while I get to play guitar on Daryl's show, you know, so it's all good.
Okay. And I heard that you write music, right?
Oh yeah,
no?
Very much so. Yeah.
Really?
That's my main
okay.
thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And you write?
You know, I write, but I'm probably not as good as you are. You know what I mean? I look at you as a legend in the game right now. So, I'm still learning, you know, I write a lot of my own music and the only problem that I have when I write music is I put too many words in one
mm-hmm.
sentence. And so I have
mm-hmm.
to go back and I have to take them out. Then I have to think about
yep.
how am I going to say it. And, the reason why I say that is because I sing and I rap. So, you know, when I sing, I'm like, oh, no, I got to take that word out. So I'm still learning
right.
as I go. You know, I have a couple of songwriting books that I read and everything. And so it's actually getting better. You know what I mean? It's actually getting better. You got to learn how to use your adjectives and your verbs and nouns and all that stuff. You know what I mean? It makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, I do write. But like I said, I'm may not be as good as you, but I write.
Oh, man, you know, we're all still learning. I'm always learning,
yes.
and there's always more to learn. And I got to say
okay.
that, you know, in the kind of music I think you're doing, I have a lot of respect for the use and how you put together words, because words are very
yes.
powerful. And it takes
yes.
a lot of
yes.
thought to put the right words together. So
yes.
Best of luck to you, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
and
you.
King is really good. And how he puts the F word together is just a masterpiece. And,
there's so
and
many
wanna,
ways
I
to put
say,
that together.
There's just so many ways, but he uses it so well it makes the music flow. And I want to thank you, King, for asking the question about being a fan of Hall & Oates and asking the question about the songs you liked that Mr. Elliot Lewis had nothing to do with. Thank you, King.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. It's all
no,
good.
I love King. King is our brother on the studio, and he does have a great voice, and he does have a great, promising career. The guy is really, really good, Mr. Lewis.
Nice.
You'll be hearing about King Webb soon. We have Arkansas Mike, who's been holding,
morning.
And Arkansas Mike, thank you, King. Arkansas Mike, Elliot Lewis.
You're welcome. Mr. Lewis, Brian and Ellen know me from political discourse. But one of the things
okay.
they don't know about me is that I grew up, my high school produced about, let's see, there's three out of about a class of, say, 95 on average each year.
Mm-hmm.
There are three that still today are touring with and or writing songs for some of the biggest bands in the country. It was one of the interesting quirks that we had about a 5-year stretch that we had a lot of really great musicians that came out.
Nice.
I'm not going to waste your time on name dropping, but I suspect you know some of them. In fact, I know you do. The
mm-hmm.
purpose of my question, though, is that and Brian will back this up, Melon will back this up. I'm a political
mm-hmm.
economist kind of a fella, but
mm-hmm.
I was curious about your perspective in that I know you have been in music since, you know, at least the early 80s. I know you have seen the progression come forward.
Mm-hmm.
And what would be a perspective if you just kind of think through it? We had the days of Big Label. We had the
yep.
days of, you know, Napster. We had the days
yep.
of indie, you know. And where now do you find revenue? Where now do you make money anymore as an artist? Not just a writer, not just a, you know, a singer, a frontline, but even
mm-hmm.
in the, you know, in the general. And let's say that someone such as myself, because I have been a big music fan and of Hall & Oates and of
mm-hmm.
yourself, where do we even, I mean, is everything now just iTunes? And we get no other you know, as a consumer, so to speak, we don't have any other way to support you unless we're at your own individual show. You know what I mean? Your own show that we go there.
Yep.
Where is that, or can you give a little bit of perspective of that continuity of that kind of that progression? And how do we now, as consumers, how do we support people such as yourself that write great songs or that sing great music without, so to speak, supporting the, you know, the big money?
Right, because you,
let's just put it that way.
Right, because you can't, if you do want to support an artist, you can't be at every show, of course. So that's a great question, and you are 100% correct. The business has changed drastically in the last, say, 20 years, and you are right in assuming that most artists now have to rely on the live performance for their main bulk of revenue. Ever since the days of Napster and file sharing, that drastically decreased the value of music. And, you know, a lot of musicians are giving away their music for free just to get people interested in what they're doing to get them to shows. So it's so
unfortunate. So it is all about now just a show? I mean, is that truly the only way to support the artist basically anymore?
Well, there. I think that a lot of people are realizing that, and you know, music has gotten devalued drastically. But you can still sell a little bit of music. There's obviously the streaming services, which make very, very, very little money for the artist. So I always encourage anybody that's following any musician or artist, just go buy their CDs, go to their own website if you can, and purchase them from there. And, you know, a lot of artists do these, like, GoFundMe things. You know, I've never done one myself, but that's certainly one way of supporting an artist. And
well,
unfortunately,
another thing, I don't know if you're doing it, Elliot, but believe it or not, Brian, Aaron is getting into the vinyl records. Vinyl records are coming
back. I miss it so much. Yeah, they are coming back in the last 5 days.
Yeah, Erin's creating her own little collection of vinyl records. That's one of the things that she wanted for her birthday was a record player and records. So vinyl is coming back. That's another way that you can support the artist. Mm. If they're doing vinyl, go out and buy, like Elliot said, go out and buy their CDs. Go out and buy their records.
Yeah.
Go to their website
and go to the
artist's website.
I love the fact that vinyl is making a bit of a comeback. It's still pretty small, though. From what I hear, it's still only about 4% of the whole market. So it's still pretty small, but it's, you know, it's a chunk, and it is making a comeback, which is great. It's another way for musicians and artists to present their music, you know. And I love it.
My daughter's only 16 years old.
I'm sorry, Ellen, go ahead.
My daughter's only 16 years old, so for her to get into vinyl, you know, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
Hey, that's backstage.
That's very cool.
That is, at 16 years old, that's backstage material. Back in the rock and roll old days. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
That actually
knows what I'm talking about.
I'm glad Ellen brought that up. That actually was my part two of my question for Mr. Lewis, because I know you again have seen this entire progression. I got really fascinated. I don't remember if it was last summer or last fall, but CNN broadcast their whatever it was, a 6 or 8 part series of the kind of the history of music. And a lot of that, because I've always enjoyed music, but I never understood the production, and I didn't completely understand the 4-track, 8-track, 16-track, 32-track. You know what I'm talking about? Because you know, I mean, I remember the very first music I ever got introduced to. Of all things, my dad was a Vietnam vet in 1971. My first thing ever remember was a 33 of the Rolling Stones. And then the next thing I remember was my grandmother having an 8-track of Glen Campbell.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, so, yeah, I mean, you know, so you kind of, and then, but to think now, with digital mastery now, how many tracks can actually be overlaid now? And how many of those actually can be incorporated in vinyl?
Oh, I think it's still pretty, they're two different things. So you've got a digital recording medium, and that can be, you know, with the kind of technology we have, you can record almost unlimited tracks. I mean, you can record hundreds of tracks, you know, that create a song, and then you can just transfer that. That always gets mixed down to like a stereo mix, and that can be transferred to vinyl. So, you know, I think the I get where you're going with this, is there's been so many different ways to present music. You know, went
right.
from vinyl, and then it went to cassettes and 8-tracks, and then it went to the mini disc, and then the CDs, and there's been so many formats. I think it's sort of plateaued a little bit, that we've now, like you said, we're going back to vinyl because it's new and it's refreshing, and it's a different way to present it. But I think the technology part of it is sort of plateaued. I think we're going to be in this area for a while. As far as making records, like, most people are still making records digitally because it offers so many options for the artist. You can have unlimited tracks, so many choices. You can do records on a laptop and they sound, you know, fully finished and produced. So it's hard to turn back from that.
What would be your perception of the Beatles' one album, if it was now, with all the instruments and all the, if it was now on that digital multi-track, you know, what are the 128 different tracks that, I mean,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? What would be,
yep.
what would our experience be now as a consumer, as a listener? Is there a you see what I'm asking? You know, what would be your perspective of that now?
Well, the plus side would be the quality and clarity would be better. But I don't know if the Beatles, if they existed today, could be the same, have the same sort of creativity that they had back then, because they had to make more choices. The thing about recording back then is that artists had to be more into their performance, getting their performance really right. Today, artists have the luxury of being able to cut and splice and then, you know, and manipulate things digitally so much that it's a completely different world. So I think the Beatles, you know, were just the perfect creative force at the time they existed. And they recorded that in a way that forced them to commit to things musically with their producer that made them what they were. So I think the only benefit, if they were to record with today's technology, would be a little bit of extra clarity and maybe fidelity in the actual. But, you know, there's such a charm to those early Beatles records that I'm not sure it would be better. I'm not sure.
Yeah. So the experience would still be the same. I would still get the same amount of hair stand up on my arms and the back of my neck listening
yeah.
to that and becoming engrossed in that, even if I took today's technology back to, you know, like a new today vinyl record. I could still get that same experience?
I think so, because it's really ultimately all about what goes into it. You know, if that music is still going to sound incredible, and if it gave the goosebumps on vinyl, it's still going to probably do the same digitally, because it's all about the music and the performance.
Well, I want to thank everybody, Mr. Lewis, Elliot Lewis's thing. I want to thank you, King Webb, for coming in. You're a great artist, and I want to thank you, Arkansas Mike. It's always a pleasure having you come in the studio, and the questions that you're asking are amazing. Thank you so much for participating. Mr. Elliot Lewis, I don't want to hold you any longer. I know you asked me to sing solo with you, and we can do a duet, but come on, Mr. Lewis.
Someday I'm going to get you, Brian. Come on.
Hey, isn't that a Blondie song? Someday.
Someday. keep rocking, my friend. You are great. And again, we did play Mr. Lewis's song, and I have to apologize because when we play on Blog Talk, the speakers are not as great. But if you want to hear great music, buy the album, pay the man. You know, so almost so much you can get for free, you little bastards. Pay the man. He's great. He's amazing.
Yep, go to
support any artist that you're into, of course.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Elliot Lewis, and when we're leaving, we're going to say goodbye to him, but we're going to be playing a song called Living in the Moment by Elliot Lewis as he leaves the studio. Hip, lips, and swallow, great interview. Elliot, anytime, the studio is your casa. Come on in,
awesome.
And we have vegan food. A lot of vegan food.
Yes, yes, we'll make sure we have vegan.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Send me out,
thank
Alan.
Thank you guys so
thank
much.
You.
Thank you for
you.
Having me. Yeah, it's
you're
been a blast.
You're so welcome. Keep rocking, my friend. Great music. Ladies and gentlemen,
okay.
Elliot Lewis. Thank
Yay.
You, sir. Elliot Lewis, everyone, living in the moment. Yeah, man, rocks like nobody else rocks. Somebody in the studio, Ellen, really quickly, because we got another show to do, and we're talking about.
That was our next interview, and I told him to call back in after we start the next show.
Oh, okay, great. Nice to talk to him. Okay, here we go. You know, we have another show coming up, everybody. We're going to half our hour. So our next show is coming up in about exactly 5 minutes, and it's going to be a great show, too. I want to thank Elliot Lewis for coming in the studio. A legend, a Hall of Fame rock and roll, baby. And you heard him. He wanted to do a duet with me. You heard it here. I got it on tape. I will soon sing with him. It will be Hammer and the Other Guy. Great. Can't wait to hear that. All right. You know, I got to talk really fast because our show is about to end, but we do have another show coming up in 5 minutes and the same phone number. If you want to go, and we're going to talk about ghosts and paranormal, and we have a great author. The author, his name is Ellen.
His name is David J. Cooper, and he will be talking about his latest book, The Witchboard, which takes you into the paranormal and witchcraft and all that good stuff. So,
We're going to go into that. There was and if you listen to the next show, I'm going to share something very, very personal to me in my life. And I usually don't share it. And I think I will share it because I'm a private person, you know. But I'm going to share it because I think others may have this problem too. And it deals in my own personal. And it's a heartbreaking story, so I'll share that in the next show. I'll just give you a hint. No, I won't, because you can look it up, and then you'll spoil what I'm about to say. I didn't realize I had family until there was a funeral. And I met my extended family at a funeral. And what happened later on was not so good, not a happy ending. I'm going to share that story to you on our next show. And it's embarrassing. It's one of these things that people try to hide in their family. They don't want it out. She let it out on NBC. She was on the Today Show, and she let out a lot of secrets about our family that I did not know. And it was very hurtful, but it's already out. So on our next show, it's coming up in about 45 seconds. If I have time, I will share that to you because now it's out. And she was on the Today Show. And I was shocked to hear a lot of things happen in our family. And I wanted to keep it in our family. But now that it's out, it's embarrassing and it's hurtful. And a lot of people watched it because it came on the HBO special 2 nights ago. And I was kind of horrified watching it. I didn't watch all of it. So, again, our new show is starting in about 6 seconds. So we'll see you then. If I have time to tell that story, I will. See you guys in the next show. Bye.